Well, folks, here we are for our culture segment, and I am very pleased to be able to introduce you today to Darlene Check. Darlene, hi.
Hi, how are you?
I am doing very well, and I know we have a lot of our members of our audience who are excited for this interview because, I mean, for those of you who don't know, but most of you probably do know Darlene, she's the former worship pastor of Hillsong Church, and she and her husband, Mark, actually now lead Hope Unlimited Church on the central coast of New South Wales in Australia, where she is calling from right now. So, But most of you know her. I mean, if anyone here has not heard and or sung Shout to the Lord, you just are not even living. So what in the world? And I've got to say, Darlene, I've just got to say that people have got to, you know, this whole idea of like, oh, haven't we just sung Shout to the Lord too much? You know, isn't it just too 90s, too whatever? No. Okay. Because I'm a big proponent of let's keep the 90s alive, people. That's what I want to say. So I absolutely love it. Not that you haven't done tons of other projects, including writing for Hillsong and a number of other projects as well, including some solo projects. And we'll make sure we have everything linked on our site. But I also want to bring attention to your brand new book, Worship Changes Everything, which just came out in March. And so very excited to be able to talk through some of those themes as well. So, well, Darlene, I want to break it down and just start out by saying, okay, a lot of people, when they think of worship leaders or people that do this in the public spotlight or whatever, it's kind of, people are like, is it just easy? Like, you just put these songs like on paper and then you sing them, and how can you even be real up there when you're just, you know, what is worship? What is it, the difference between leading people in worship and personal worship, and how do you do that, you know, in the role you do within the church as well as just in your own faith, and what does that look like?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, for me, I mean, everybody's different, but for me, you know, it's not something that I, worship leading, you know, it's not really something I kind of chose as a career path or anything like that. It really did come out of just serving at my local church. There was a need. I was very reluctant. I found myself leading worship. I didn't really ever want to do it. I found the responsibility probably just too much for me. That's what I thought. And then over time, I realized that actually it's very little to do with me. You know, I've got to really take people by the hand metaphorically and point them to Jesus. And I thought, well, I love doing that in my life, that, you know, not musical life. I love doing that day in, day out. I mean, that's our role as Christ followers, you know, to point people to Christ. And I thought, well, I can do that then musically. Mm-hmm. You know, I can take these songs, some that, you know, most written by others actually, and then some written by me, and I can point people to Christ. And, you know, once, you know, worship is so magnificent in the fact that it's spiritual, you know, first and foremost rather than musical. It's always a step of faith. It's very inclusive. It's not exclusive. It's not for the musicians of this world. It's, you know, the Bible says every nation, tribe, and tongue. It's like everybody is included. Mm-hmm. So actually, to me, it was getting the barriers mostly that were in my mind out of the way. And when you realize it's just about pointing people to Christ, and once they get their eyes onto Him and that song becomes real in them, you know, helps to give people prayers and ways to pray through the valleys, then I actually found it such a joy and delight. And I still, you know, all these years later, I find it one of my greatest privileges, you know, ever, is to lead people in worship, to get their eyes on Christ.
Yeah. Now you, and this is interesting you said that, because I've actually talked to friends who, for example, said like in really low times in their life, you know, I have one of my friends just last week, I was talking to her and she said, you know, Lisa, I've had a couple of times in my life where it was a struggle to even open the Word of God, or it was a struggle to get into church. It was a struggle. But she said, but I could turn on music that I had listened to over the years, or worship songs that had meant a lot to me. And it was like that was the one way that God was, you know, not to say sneaking his way into my life, but that was the one little wedge that God was able to drive in and say, nope, I'm going to meet you here. Why is that, Darlene? What have you heard on that front?
Yeah, well, you know, even in my research, it's interesting that even scientifically, you know, music has the ability to, you know, capture your senses in a way that nothing else really can touch, you know, not just your auditory, but, you know, physical, even memories. There's a, you know, great study on, many studies on what music can do at a cellular level in our bodies. So if you think, take that and then take your spiritual step of faith, you know, your spiritual declaration, you know, music has the ability to allow you to, you know, lift up these songs that they are statements of faith because, you know, worship is not about feelings. If it was all about our feelings, my gosh, you know, none of us would ever be able to do it because our feelings, you know, lie to us depending on, you know, just what's happening in the day or an atmosphere or whatever. But, you know, the Word of God is truth. So when we're able to sing these songs of faith, sing these words of truth, and then because it's spiritual, you know, it has the ability then to silence the noise. And I always say that about worship. Worship stops the noise more than just music. You know, worship, seeing music used for its highest purpose, it stops the noise and it says no to all the other stuff. And suddenly you find yourself, you know, getting your eyes off the temporal and onto the eternal.
Yeah. Now, you, I liked what you said about it affecting you even at the cellular level. You actually had, I want to turn a corner here, at the end of December, you had a diagnosis of breast cancer that God really, I mean, walked you through to the point where, you know, you trusting him through that diagnosis, which none of us, you know, expect stuff like that. I mean, we never just sit around and say, God, just use something terrible to teach me something new about you.
No.
exactly. Yeah. But you have experienced tremendous healing in that to the point where your doctor actually has claimed really miraculous intervention in that. What did you see God do through that season, through that dark season? And how really, what did you emerge with on this side of the situation as far as your faith, in terms of your faith?
Yeah. Well, that's a really big question, you know, to squeeze into a couple of moments. But firstly, I'll say, you know, people said, was your faith shaken? And all I can say to that is quite the opposite. You know, I don't know how people do it without faith. And I, you know, met a lot of people on my journey who since have come to faith because they found themselves calling out to the great unknown, going, there's got to be more than this, you know. So I have, you know, I just clung to what I know to be true. You know, God is real in the good times and God is real in the harshest of times. And I guess I found, you know, there was one particular night that, you know, I had a really bad diagnosis, and there was one particular night during chemo where I just thought, I'm not going to make this, you know. And literally, I sensed the Holy Spirit speaking to me the whole night, and it was this. It was like, breathe in, breathe out, breathe in, breathe out. It's like he held my hand and kept me alive. I can't even begin to describe to you, you know, just the beauty of those moments, as hellish as they were. And, you know, I'm still emerging in what I am learning through this season. You know, it's still being crafted within me. But, you know, some of the songs on this new project, Here I Am, Send Me, like one of them is called You Will Be Praised, and it's just about walking through the fire and, you know, just making a choice because worship is always a choice. You know, we choose to declare he will be praised, you know, through every storm. Mm-hmm. He will remain in death and in life. I'll not be afraid in joy or in pain. You will be praised. You know, he's not a Disneyland God when, you know, just the God of, you know, the perfect place on earth. Mm-hmm. He's the God of everything. So, yeah, that's a very short answer.
Yeah.
To what has been the harshest and, you know, awful time, not just for myself, but, my family, my children, our church. But what happened is, you know, God forged something in prayer where we were all on our knees together, and you don't get that on the mountaintop. You get that in these harsh times. So, you know, I cling to what, you know, God. I can talk about it now in the light because it was revealed to me as truth in the dark. You know, and so on we go, and it's still emerging in me. I will tell you that.
Sure. So what, tell our listeners a little bit about, you know, I always like to kind of get inside the heads and experiences of our guests. In your times of personal praise, when you just, you know, when it's just you and the Lord, wherever you are, outside or in your home or whatever, what are a couple songs that have really been tried and tested for you? You know, not necessarily your own, but just those songs or just ones that you're like, wow, this song really met me, or this one really, there's a stake in the ground for this time in my life when this spoke to me in a new way. Do you have any songs or any?
Sure.
What would those be?
Look, well, you know, there's a couple of hymns actually that, you know, are very important to me. One is, you know, Then Sings My Soul, How Great Thou Art. Mm-hmm. And that was a really special song to my father and my grandparents. And I found myself clinging to that same ancient truth myself. But then even through this season, one of my girlfriends jumped into bed with me when I was really sick and played You Make Me Brave. Mm-hmm. And we just played it and played it, and I wept, and we played it and played it and played it, and just again gave me strength, got my eyes off the temporal circumstance. I'm like, right, we're going to get through this, you know. And there's just so many songs, but it, you know, I'll just give you those two as an example today.
Yeah, absolutely. And what, you know, what would you say, like, for the person, the young adult who's sitting here listening, and they're like, well, you know, I don't know, I just can't seem to, you know, my church, they're just like singing songs like I haven't heard them before, or else they're singing ones that are too old, or there's everyone, like, you know, makes the people that have these mass exoduses out of churches over worship styles and whatever. Yeah. I'm sure you've just gone bonkers having to like talk through this, you know, at the at the church level. But what would be your advice to a believer who truly wants to go deeper into worship, both at church and personally? What would your advice be?
Yeah, do you know, I would say if you're depending on church to be the vehicle, then you know church is family's messy. You know, so let's just put that out there. If you're depending on church to be the only vehicle, I think you're going to come up short. I think that this is where we get a chance to dig our own wells, you know, before God, when we, you know, at home, develop a discipline of worship. If you want to go deeper, I mean, you can go as deep as you want. And I think people often point the finger at the church, but it's like there's only so much you can do in an hour and a half once a week. You know, you're not going to find the fullness of your experience in God there. So, you know, give yourself a challenge. You know, set some time apart every day. Hmm. Get on your knees before God. Read some scripture out loud. Play some of your favorite songs. Stay there till you hear him speak. Hmm. Dig your well. You know, I think that time as a young adult, you know, it's a time in life where, you know, you've got a little bit more capacity time-wise. You've got a bit more capacity finance-wise. you know, make some gutsy decisions about how you're going to live your life. And before God, you know, take the time. You've got the time now. Take it. Be really wise with it. You know, get yourself somewhere in church where you can really be planted, and not just for your sake, but so that you can contribute. You know, again, that's part of a family. If you were part of a family and just taking, then that's not a rich family experience. Family is, you know, you receive and you give. That's church family. So go and get gutsy. Stop mucking around the edges, you know, talking about how it doesn't fill your needs. Go and contribute. Make the changes, you know. And I think we got to be really, really intentional about our, you know, following Christ and saying, yes, Lord, you know, here I am, send me, say yes, and just be ready for the adventure. You know, it will be the greatest adventure of your life. But you've got to play the part in that, yeah. You know, and it's actually really exciting. Yeah. Mark and I, you know, that's where we got really, I guess, as young adults, you know, we've sensed that purpose in our hearts before God and went, right, that's it. This is the rest of our lives. And to be honest, you know, what happens at church or doesn't happen at church, that's not the driver. You know, it's like how we are before God, and just allow the Holy Spirit to take you on the wildest ride of your life.
Absolutely. And that's really the theme of, again, the album is Here I Am, Send Me, brand new, really wrestling with the themes around, you know, God, whatever you ask, whatever you put before me, I'm yeah. already, my answer already is yes. And, yeah. you know, really trusting not only the sovereignty of God, but the goodness of God in all things. He's never going to.
You got it, girl.
Never going to drop us. Well, I know I was supposed to be a backup singer on your album, remember? But you just didn't invite
come
me.
On, come
I mean,
on.
The yeah, next one. Yeah, we'll work out the next one.
It's okay. Yeah. Yeah, come on.
We'll work it out. So, well, Darlene, I just appreciate this so much. Thanks for carving out some time for us just to encourage us in this. And again, we'll make sure that folks can connect with you on our site and beyond. And we would love for you to just, you know, just pop over, just a quick little plane ride over here to the States to visit us sometime.
No worries.
Next time you're around. So, hey, we have beautiful
All
mountains.
Right, lovely lady.
So, yeah. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right.